Finally today, time for your comments. And joining me to help is day-to-day producer Steve Proffitt.
Let's start with a correction, Madeline. In our Marketplace report last week, we indicated that members of the group, the Business Roundtable, didn't like some of the Democratic nominees for the Securities and Exchange Commission, including Commissioner Roel Campos, who's up for renomination. In fact, the Roundtable says it's a strong supporter of Campos.
Okay, now on to listener comments, starting with a story we aired early last week about two middle-aged guys who ride skateboards down steep hills.
In that story, one of them, Jim Kluggish, admitted that he doesn't wear a helmet or pads,
even though he's hitting speeds of up to 40 miles an hour on public streets.
Listener Colleen Ortiz says, "Where's your helmet, Jim Kluggish?
Please don't be an idiot," she writes, "and strap your family with a significantly brain-damaged husband and father."
A couple of days ago, Tuesday, we looked at the Supreme Court drift theory.
That's the idea that judges who are picked to serve on the Supreme Court tend to move toward the left. Slate's Dahlia Lithwick shared a number of possible reasons for this. Let's listen to part of what she said.
There's a theory that these justices all hire law clerks from liberal, elite, Ivy League institutions, and their law clerks push them to the left. And then there's the sort of the grandiose theory that they simply evolve over time, that over one's career, one becomes more broad-minded, more tolerant. Certainly liberals like to say that people like O'Connor and Kennedy have drifted to the middle because they've sort of found their heart after all these years.
Ed Gurewitz of Incline Village, Nevada, wrote to say, "I think it's a case of growing into the office more than finding their heart, and I'm very encouraged by that possibility."
Here's a letter we got about our feature Tuesday on the car that's also a boat, the Amphicar. "Usually Amphicar features are riddled with avoidable inaccuracies, but your feature, well done, Bill Bilgemaster Connolly."
And Mr. Connolly notes he's the owner of a 1967 Fjord Green Amphicar named Old Boy. That's B-U-O-Y.
Oh, boy. From South Pasadena, California, Pam Pastrell writes, "I was thrilled someone was going to address this issue."
That issue is the inane prompts and instructions cell phone users have to endure when leaving and retrieving voicemail messages.
She says our essay about this phone mail gobbledygook omitted what she finds are a couple of the most annoying sentences in the English language.
"You have one unheard message."
And "the following message has not been heard."
And finally, a comment about our story on foreign tongue recordings.
This was a feature about singers mostly in the 60s who had hits on the American charts and then recorded European language versions of their songs so they would sell better overseas.
Listener Anita Davis wrote to say that when she's not listening to NPR, she tunes into a German internet radio station that plays a lot of oldies, many of them American hits translated into German.
She writes, "I enjoy listening to music in a different language so I can focus on my work without being inadvertently distracted by English lyrics."
Stand by, Anita. We've got a little something to help you focus. But for now, that's it for your letters.
To write us, just go to our website, npr.org.
Click on the Contact Us link. It's on every page.
Well, Steve Proffitt, thanks for your help.
You're welcome, Madeline.
As Ethan bought the game,
and Anita, there you go, the Beach Boys singing their German version of In My Room.